This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Well, well, well. We meet again, my friends, on a very chilly morning in north central Florida. Burr. Double, triple burr. now it's all good, right? I had every thing on in my car that could heat. I had it on. Everything.
Oh, that's funny.
And
the heater, the seats, the steering wheel.
Oh, yeah. It was all like
lighter,
wide open. And I'm like, I will not turn it down until my face begins to melt. And then I'm only going to back off a little. Now, it's chilly morning. Good luck, folks. It is 6:08. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We know you're busy. We make it easy. The Bob Rose Show podcast with every minute, every issue on demand in one place. Now free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or iHeart. Just hit subscribe. Okay, let's be done with the rumor mill, the overreaction, all the goofy stuff that has to do with your license tag.
Bob, you're going to prison if I can't see the whole plate.
Yeah, people have overreacted trying to scare you about your license plate. Yes, a new law went into effect, and it is you cannot cover your license plate in a way that they could not read the alphanumeric a part of the plate. That's pretty important. Or the little yellow tag actually says, you know, the month and the year on it. As long as those things are not covered or obstructed, then whatever plate that you have, whatever, you know, surrounding plate that you have is fine.
Yeah.
They specifically were going after the plastic ones that were covering.
Yeah.
The tag, the tinting ones.
And then they make the ones that are supposed to kind of make it invisible from some angles, you know, just, you know who you are that bought those.
Yeah, and Florida says no, but don't overreact. You don't have to take off your cool plate that says, you know, Gator alumni on it. Or even, I feel bad for Florida State people. I don't know why you'd advertise it, but for those people too.
They do that on purpose.
Some people do.
Because the rumor was that any frame that covers any part of the plate, which, I mean, the ones you get at the car dealer will sometimes cover
a
little part of it. So that was the big deal. And
They don't care if the MyFlorida.com at the top is covered a little bit. They don't care if Sunshine State on the bottom is covered either. As long as they can identify it's a Florida tag, the letters and the numbers and the little yellow tag in the upper right-hand corner, as long as they can read that, you're all good. Quit being paranoid. You're not going to get pulled over and all that. But if you have that plasticky type covering over the whole tag, and people know who you, like you said,
you know who you are. And you
knock it off.
Yeah.
Knock it off, because cops get irritated with that, and you don't want to irritate the cops.
Nope.
All right, so we've got a lot to talk about this morning. Hopefully, it's still going to be. If I'm being honest, there's still a little doom and gloom, death and destruction in there because, you know, we're still dealing with it. But so here's the deal. Here's another controversy. President Trump didn't effectively talk about Rob Reiner in glowing terms, even though he knew that him and his wife had recently been slaughtered in their California home. And it looks like the son allegedly could be the perpetrator. So President Trump was given a chance to, you didn't really mean what you said on X and all that, that he had, Trump derangement syndrome and all that. And, it basically said this. It said, Reiner had a crippling disease known as Trump derangement syndrome. And the post came right as news was breaking about him being found dead. Mr. President, a number of Republicans have denounced your statement on Truth Social after the murder of Rob Reiner. Do you stand by that post? He said, well, I wasn't a fan of his at all. He was a deranged person as far as Trump is concerned. He said he knew it was false. In fact, it's the exact opposite, that I was a friend of Russia, controlled by Russia, the Russian hoax. He was one of the people behind it. I think he hurt himself career-wise. In September of 2017, Rob Reiner joined forces with Barack Obama, government alumni, left-wing journalists, and other Trump critics to launch the Committee to Investigate Russia, a nonprofit, nonpartisan resource provided to help Americans recognize and understand the gravity of Russia's continued attacks on our democracy. The group's website read that, and Reiner spent years spreading falsehoods about Trump and his 2016 presidential campaign, repeatedly alleging unproven ties with the Kremlin. So Trump has always been irritated with Rob Reiner, and he had every reason to be. Every reason. But as most of us know, it just a matter of taste and a matter of class when somebody's life comes to an end. If we're going to speak of them at all, we tend to speak in the positive. Now, Trump is Trump. I'm not defending at all what he said. In fact, there's many times that he has said things where I cringe and I go, come on, man. Yeah, you are doing such a great job in so many different areas. Don't give people like a freebie that they can actually call you out on and probably be right. Don't give them that.
Right.
Because the essence of the job, you are handling quite well, sir. But all he had to do was say, look, it's no secret. I'm not a fan of his. He clearly is not a fan of mine.
Right.
I don't appreciate the things that he did trying to push that Russian collusion, which we all know was a lie.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, I wouldn't wish that horrific type event on anybody. So, you know, rest in peace. And that's, I mean, essentially.
It's kind of what he said.
Yeah.
The words chosen. Because the reality is, how many times did we have Reiner quotes on the show of stupid things that everybody pretty much knew, unless you had Trump derangement syndrome, you knew it wasn't true. You knew it was totally just wrong. So if that were me, if I were Donald Trump, somebody was continually doing that, I'd probably not feel as much compassion as someone who, you know, wasn't constantly attacked with lies.
Well, you know, it's what you call being the bigger man.
Oh, I get it.
This man,
I get it.
You know, he can no longer speak for himself, Rob Reiner.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just focus on saying, hey, not a fan of his. I mean, his work was stellar.
Oh, yeah.
The president doesn't have to say that. He could. He could say, hey, I've seen some of his work. It's pretty good. But he had a real problem with me.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, I wouldn't wish that kind of event on anybody and that kind of a terrible death. He says, so I'm just going to leave it right there. That's essentially all he needed to do. But, look, Trump is Trump.
Yep.
And if he wants to hold a grudge, that's up to him.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, I tend to be, maybe I'm too forgiving, but since I ask for forgiveness so often, I know it's you know, part of the Lord's Prayer that you would also extend that to others. Otherwise, it's
there's that.
And besides, you're carrying around the baggage. If you're the one that can't let go, if you're the one that can't forgive, you're doing damage to yourself. If you don't realize that by now.
Mm-hmm.
6:16, Bob Rose Show rolling. Greg Cassidy is here. Boy, have we got plenty of topics in which we're going to cover this morning. So stick around and stay warm. News Talk 97.3 The Sky.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
every once in a while you see a story where you go, wait a second. Didn't we already do that? I'll give you an example here in a minute. Good morning and welcome. It is 6:22. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. The story I'm talking about is President Trump is classifying fentanyl as a weapon of mass destruction. I could have sworn that that had already occurred. I mean, who would argue with that?
Yeah.
If you said, hey, look, this is a weapon of mass destruction. Between 80 and 100,000 Americans between the ages of 18 and 49 is the number one killer in America the whole time Biden was in office. And we knew it was just streaming across the border, and still plenty is still getting in here by different means, obviously. But, yeah, I thought it was a done deal. So I was a little surprised, but I'll share it with everybody who didn't know. President Donald Trump signed an executive order Monday classifying fentanyl as a weapon of mass destruction. I think most people know that it does have medical applications, that it is useful. It is used to treat pain. It is just so much more powerful for the same weight and value and all that say, any of your other narco-related things, and morphine-based.
Yep.
But fentanyl is very, very powerful. But it is used in medicine. And the order signing came during a Mexican border defense medal presentation in the Oval Office. And the president said, I'm taking one more step to protect Americans from the scourge of deadly fentanyl flooding into our country. With this historic executive order I will sign today, we're formally classifying fentanyl as a weapon of mass destruction, which is what it is. No bomb does this. 200,000 to 300,000 people die every year that we know of. That number sounds a little high to me, but that's not the point. I mean, if you've got 80,000 or more people dying directly because of fentanyl, and it's fentanyl, what we call fentanyl poisoning, because these are not people taking drugs and, oops, I took too much. Mm-mm. It's, oops, I had no idea there was that much fentanyl concentrated in whatever I thought I was taking. Trump said he has overseen a 50% drop in fentanyl coming into the United States through the southern border, and added that China is working with us very closely on bringing down the number and the amount of fentanyl that's being shipped. I don't know how measurable that is, because that's the thing. What is it? Reagan taught us, trust but verify.
Yep.
So can we measure that? I mean, we can only catch what we can catch. You can't see inside of these containers, ocean-going containers. But, look, it's a step in the right direction, weapon of mass destruction. The penalties for it, I'm assuming, would be higher then if you're caught with fentanyl. So, hopefully that will save American lives. And speaking of President Donald Trump, pretty optimistic in his latest comments about Russia and Ukraine and the talks. And I'm happy to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
He has spoke to a number of European leaders, and he shared some of his latest information efforts to bring the war to a close. He said it, in fact, at that same medal presentation that he talked about fentanyl, quote, we had a very good conversation 1 hour ago with the European leaders, many of them involving the war with Russia and Ukraine. We had a long discussion. Things are seemingly going well, but we've been saying that for a long time, and it's a difficult one. I had a long talk with President Zelensky. Also, I spoke with the heads of Germany, Italy, NATO, Finland, France, and the United Kingdom, Poland, Norway, Denmark, and the Netherlands. We had very long and very good talks. Again, I think things are going along pretty well. And so he's speaking very positively of it, and he says, to some extent, we may be closer to ending the war now more than ever. And that's good news. So we'll stay on that positive note. And also, the announcement was made, President Trump, I guess, proud of his oldest child, Don Jr. He is formally engaged now.
Nice.
To his girlfriend, model Bettina Anderson. And they revealed, it was a post on X, that Trump announced the news at a White House Christmas party. And congratulations to Don Jr.
Nice.
Anderson was born in December 1986 to entrepreneur Harry Loy Anderson Jr. and philanthropist Inger Anderson. She grew up in Palm Beach, Florida, where she continues to reside today. Her father became the youngest bank president in the U.S. when he started leading Worth Avenue National Bank at 26.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's an achiever for you.
Together, he and Inger became well-known as philanthropic couple, with Harry serving as board member of the Historical Society of Palm Beach County, National Board of Governors for the American Red Cross. And, yeah. Poor little Kimberly Guilfoyle. Aww.
I knew you were going to feel bad about this.
I do.
I know.
I liked her personality. She was perky and cute. And
mm-hmm. Always had a thing for you anyway.
Yeah. Well, she's not stalking me anymore. That's good news.
I'm glad she's moved on.
Yeah.
She can heal.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm like, come on. Come on, Chicky. Move along. You know what I mean?
He's taken. Yeah. Come on.
Good morning. Welcome. Stay warm, my friends. It is 628. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And we've got a lot more to talk about, including, is she running? Who is she? Well, you got to stick around. I'll tell you next on 97.3 The Sky. Well, here we are. It's a chilly start, but we'll get it done. It is a Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to Florence Recycling. Good morning and welcome. 6:39 right now on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We got the open trash can burning, rubbing our hands over it, trying to stay warm.
Cardboard boxes, newspaper, whatever we can find.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And we're cleaning up the planet.
Oh, yeah.
Really.
Absolutely.
Know about the air, but...
Details.
Run! Run, Kamala, run! Oh, this is very, very exciting news. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She is going to continue to be, Kamala, the gift that keeps on giving to conservative talk radio. Yeah. She is quite entertaining. Mm-hmm. We already miss her cackle. We need more Kamala cackle
in
our lives.
And who doesn't need a diet of word salad from time to time?
The Kamala cackle, the word salad.
Yeah.
These are things that we've come to enjoy, to lighten our load, our daily load. Look, there's a lot of bad news in the world. So we need those things to kind of lighten things up and laughing. I mean... talking about Kamala running.
Well, it makes our job easier because, man, all the free material. Just right in front of us.
Former Vice President Kamala Harris has reportedly been planning a White House run for the 2028 election. I mean, if she wants to be successful, her best bet is to turn that run into a 5K for charity.
You think it'll accomplish more?
Yes, it definitely would.
Than any term as the president?
Yes.
You're right.
Despite her loss to President Donald Trump in both the Electoral College and the popular vote, Kamala Harris has persisted as a top contender for the 2028 Democratic nomination, according to most primary polls, with strong support among Black American voters. I mean, you go, girl.
Oh, yeah.
I think is what the poll even said. Poll.
That was an option?
That came out. Okay. No, it was the name of the poll.
Really? Oh, wow.
No, what? I just made that up.
Oh.
But according to Axios, several Democratic Party insiders have said that Kamala's recent conduct during her book tour indicated that she plans to run again in 2028. I was thinking that, that book, maybe she wasn't planning, but okay.
Now, again, though, do you think she would have more support? I mean, obviously, she's had the national position. She's had multiple positions. But do you think that if you throw Newsom in the mix, what do you, I mean?
In terms of being on the ticket, top of the ticket, bottom of the ticket, she probably likes being on top since she was the VP.
Right. Well, she's been on bottom already, so
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure she, you know, I don't know how important the position actually, you know, is.
Well, and she's used to not winning a primary and still being able to get to the, you know, get to,
That's very true.
So,
well, this won't be a shortcut this time, though. Right. She'll have to run the race. I mean, she will have to compete in a primary against other Democrats. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she gets up on that stage and begins to debate, she may or may not do well.
Was she one of the first ones to drop out last time around?
I think with less than 1%, far less than 1% of support. Yeah, she called it pretty quickly, and yeah, she did not have a lot of success there. Now, here's the thing: she was the vice president for 4 years.
Yes,
not trying to be nasty here. Mm-hmm. What did she accomplish? I mean, I'm sure she did something. It's just nothing comes to mind. And, you know, you and I follow these kind of things.
Right.
I mean, I said it right then. The day that Biden said she was the border czar, I said that's the end for her. She is completely done in the political world. This was like he couldn't have put any title on her that would be more damning than that.
Because there's nothing she could do.
Well, absolutely, and he knew it.
Absolutely.
And he knew it.
Yeah.
And
he forgot, but at the time he knew it.
Well, and it would be, hey, better for Kamala to be the butt of the jokes than me.
Mm-hmm.
It was, his, I guess, was his theory, or whoever cooked the whole thing up. I don't know if Joe thought that deeply about any of the issues. But anyway, she's announced many more stops on her tour to promote 107 Days, her story of her short presidential campaign last year.
Oh, my.
Tour stops in early 2026 will include the historically critical primary state of South Carolina and cities with many black voters, including Detroit, Jackson, Mississippi, Memphis, Tennessee, and Montgomery, Alabama. She appeared before the Democratic National Committee. Harris and her husband, Doug Emhoff, mingled with National Party officials and state party chairs in Los Angeles this week during the DNC's winter meeting. So maybe the DNC said, we're desperate.
But really?
We're desperate.
They're that desperate?
Run, Kamala, run. I think it's a brilliant move. Absolutely brilliant. Yes.
Oh, my.
And do not drop out no matter what, Kamala. Just keep running and running.
Can you see her and J.D. Vance in a debate?
No. Wow. He'd probably be arrested afterwards.
After the brutal beating.
Yeah, assault and battery with words.
Yeah, you're right.
She couldn't even defend herself.
No.
6:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Never miss a minute of the show. Search for the Bob Rose Show on your favorite app. Hit the follow button. You can catch up on every episode, every hour, every highlight, whenever it works for you. Now on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts. Oh, good times back in the day up in Boston. Packed a wagon. We're going to have a party. Good morning and welcome, my friend. 6:51 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And yes, another cold start to your morning. I think we have, one more of those, then we'll begin to moderate just a bit. So, yeah, and then we get a little chilly again. I mean, come on. This is going to be the lay of the land. We'll have some good warm days, and we're going to have some cold days. And that's pretty much how it goes, isn't it?
I mean, we're talking, low 70s starting tomorrow for the rest of the week. So
there you go.
It's not bad.
Now quit your whining, huh? I was talking to myself, actually.
Uh-huh.
It was in Boston Harbor on this day in 1773. If I tell you what it is, How much detail can you add to it? Because, well, we probably learned this in history class, we youngins.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about what was known as the Boston Tea Party. Now, they took and threw a bunch of tea in the harbor because they didn't like the tax on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we forget some of the details. Do you remember that they actually dressed up as Indians when they did it?
I had forgotten about it, but yes, I was
aware
of it.
The Mohawk Indians. That's, I was the same way. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that, but I didn't think of it initially. Boston Harbor, a group of Massachusetts colonists disguised as Mohawk Indians, board three tea ships and dump 342 chests of tea into the harbor. The Midnight Raid, popularly known as the Boston Tea Party, was in protest of the British Parliament's Tea Act of 1773, a bill designed to save the faltering East India Company by greatly lowering its tea tax and granting it a virtual monopoly on the American tea trade. So, see, the Americans couldn't compete with the new lowered cost to the India Tea Company.
Right.
And that's what they were upset about. The low tax allowed the East India Company to undercut even tea smuggled into America by Dutch traders, and many colonists viewed the act as another example of taxation tyranny. So,
I got no problem with the whole Tea Party thing because, quite frankly, until C&H came along, wasn't worth drinking anyway.
C&H?
Mm-hmm. You don't hear the jingle in your head?
No.
Pure cane sugar from Hawaii growing in the sun.
Wait, I thought we were talking about tea.
Yeah, with sugar. It was worthless until then.
It ain't tea if it ain't sweet tea.
Just throw it in the harbor. I don't care.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, put some chemicals in there. I like the idea of sweet. I just don't like the idea of sugar.
Oh, it could be worse.
I know they're both terrible for you.
Listen,
I know that.
Saccharin. There was nothing worse than saccharin back in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
It was awful.
Oh, yeah. So. Don't snort it either. I would not recommend
it. I didn't know you could do that.
No, I saw it in the movie.
Okay.
Scary stuff. But, yeah, the Boston Tea Party. A little, little history for you there. Yeah.
And then, of course, the new Tea Party.
That was almost like kind of the Brits sort of using a tariff. Actually, they used a tax, but kind of used it in that way. Like, hey, we're going to protect our British company at the expense of the American company.
Right.
And
interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, some things just, they just come back again.
They do. All right. Hmm. So you got that going on. The Clintons, how do they, why are they still in the news? What's going on here?
Goodness.
Well, if I say Epstein, then you might kind of see where this is going. The House Oversight Committee, chaired by James Comer, the Republican from Kentucky, is escalating pressure on Bill and Hillary Clinton to appear for in-person depositions as part of its investigation into Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. According to a recent New York Times report, the Clintons have repeatedly offered to provide sworn written statements instead. However, Comer has insisted that they must appear in person before the committee on December 17th and 18th or face contempt of Congress proceedings. I mean, would that really have any, what would that do, a contempt of Congress thing? I mean, I remember when they filed that against Clinton's attorney, Obama's attorney general.
When the Democrats are getting called in, they just didn't care. They ignored it all, and nobody did a thing about it overall.
Yeah, again, what do you think? Clinton's going to go down and say, I was with a bunch of those underage girls.
Oh, man.
You know?
Yeah.
And Hillary, whatever. Yeah, the whole thing. Kind of gross, isn't it? 6:56 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and wow, we've got so much to cover coming up. Hang on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.